We have been going through this past month a number of messages talking about the new year, talking about God giving you a word that you could focus on to basically focus on your purpose, focus on what God is doing in your life, the changes God may want to do in your life, or the maybe there's an area He wants to strengthen you. But we're looking at one word, and we're looking at, go ahead, we're looking this morning, we're looking at abiding in God's Word, abiding in Christ. And I saw this this picture, and I think I've told a lot of you that Cindy and I both have spots in the house where we liked it. Doesn't that, right? Yeah, yeah. We had to quit fighting over her chair. I had to pray more. I just felt like that chair was prayed up, you know. But anyway, yeah, we both have spots where we like to just settle in and spend time with God. We're going to talk about abiding with God and how abiding with Him, how setting with Him can really speak to your heart, can really speak to your mind, can really do so much for you if you just take the time to set that time aside and find that place, that special place, you know, that God has set up for you. It may be in your house. If you've got 10 grandkids running around your house, it may be out in your camper, speaking from experience. And so, you know, you got to have that place that you can go and talk to God. So we're going to go back to our scripture that we've been on this month, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." You notice that when we are planted by streams of water, we yield fruit. But in order to yield fruit, there's an interesting thing about this scripture. So many times we look at this scripture and we think, well, yield, that means, you know, you produce fruit. But actually, yield in this scripture, in this verse, has a dual meaning. That word, that Greek word there, yep, another one of those. And the word can mean to yield or pause. And the word can also mean to yield or produce. Now, isn't it kind of interesting that in the English language, it's the same way? Think about it. You're supposed to yield at a yellow light, right? And how many people have not yielded for you and you're thinking, what a turkey? Or maybe even worse words than that. Okay. But we're supposed to pause. We're supposed to stop. But also, in our language, yield means to produce a crop, to produce fruit. And it's kind of interesting in nature and in our spiritual walk, if we don't yield, we can't produce. If we don't slow down, we can't produce. If we don't surrender to Christ, we can't produce. If we don't stop, surrender, then we produce. And so when we read this scripture, you need to stop and say, which yields its fruit, which means you need to pause, you need to surrender to God, you need to spend time to God because when you do, then you produce fruit. And we're going to talk about how that happens this morning, okay? You see, we go to His Word to get our Word so that we can abide in His Word to spread the Word. I'm going to say that again. We go to His Word to get our Word, that special Word, and it may be a message. It may be something that you need for a day. It may be a Word like we've been talking about that would help you focus on something for an entire year, okay? So that we can abide in His Word so we can spread the Word. We yield so that we can yield so that we can produce. And God, we see that in nature, we see that in our spiritual, we see that in the mental. Over and over and over we see this process, this principle, this law of God, basically. So when we ask for specific direction from God, God gives us that specific direction. Just like we've been talking about, go to God and say, God, give me a word. Give me something so that I can focus on one thing primarily, not just one thing. But Lord, so I can have a primary focus this year, so I can change something, so that I can improve in something, so that I can see something better. Give me a word. Last year, my word from the right off the beginning of the year was prepare. And I had no idea I was going to end up in the jungles of Thailand. And I was prepared, you know, and it is so funny because Kelsey, our worship leader, she made us a little bracelets with our word because everybody on the team had a word that God had given them. And so she handed it out, and there was my word. It was prepared. And she gave it out before the trip. And it's kind of amazing, you know, how God does things. Because not in any of my dreams did I dream I was going to end up all the way around the world in a jungle in Thailand doing vacation Bible study and vacation Bible school. But you see, God knows. So I encourage you, say, you know, God, what do I need this year? What do I need to see? What do I need to focus on this year? And not just for the year, but for every day, for every week, for every moment. Because we need that from God. We will spend our whole lives learning to abide in Christ, learning to yield, learning to get to that place. We'll spend our whole lives doing this. And in just about the time you think, okay, I've got this down and I'm in a routine, then life happens and you have a speed bump and you got to make some adjustments and you got to, you know, I mean, I can't right now. I know that we need to replace the couch that I sat on, but, you know, that would put a speed bump in my prayer time because I fit on that couch, you know, and Benny, my dog, he fits on that couch. I know he's not supposed to, but he does, you know, and we sit there and we have a great time every morning, and so it might be something that small or it might be something very large, but we get speed bumps, don't we? We get things that change. So we spend our whole life abiding and then learning or relearning how to abide. You see, we abide by consistently walking in the Spirit, by coming to God and saying, I need your Holy Spirit. I need you in me. I need you. I need you. I need you. And don't ever feel like you can be over needy to God because He is there. He is there. And we're going to finish up with a scripture that shows us just how much He is there. But He is there. Never, ever, ever, ever feel like you're being over needy. Go to God. Because if we don't go to God, we have this tendency to try to do things on our own. How many of you are fix-its? You like to fix things, right? I mean, if something's not working quite right, or if you don't think it's working quite right, you think you need to fix it. You need to tweak it. You need to adjust it. And we have a tendency to do that in our spiritual walk. We want to fix it ourselves. We want to go a little bit faster, or a little bit slower, or a little bit quieter, or a little bit louder. And God says, no, you just need to walk in the Spirit. You need to abide in me. The Bible tells us and warns us not to do it in the flesh, not to do it on our own. Jeremiah 17:5 says this, cursed is the one who trusts in man. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from God. Once you start trusting in your own strength, what does it say? You're cursed. And I know that's a strong word, you know. That is really not politically correct in this day and age, right? But God doesn't like it when we go out on our own power. God really doesn't like it. In fact, He uses that word. He says, if you want to try that, great, you're under a curse. But listen to what it says in Galatians 3:3. It says, are you so foolish that after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? You see, God says, you've got Jesus, you've got your salvation, and in this package of salvation and in this package of Christ, Jesus left so that He could send the Holy Spirit, so that He could be there in us and with us, so that we could walk in the Spirit in Christ, so we can attain, so that we can be there every day, every moment with Christ. But it's so easy to go back to our default. It's so easy to hit a speed bump and to get off track or to get off the path. But God says, I don't want you to. So how do we yield, pause to Christ, and yield, produce a one-word change in our spirit? We abide. We abide. And we're gonna look at a scripture in John 15, 1 through 8. You've heard this scripture before, and it's been taught many, many different ways. This morning, we're going to look at the abiding part. It says here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. You know, a lot of people will try to tell you there's different ways of doing things. Jesus said there's only one. I'm the true vine. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Now, notice it says every branch in me that bears no fruit. He cuts off, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. How many of you feel like you're in a pruning process all of the time? It's like, whoa, are you kidding me? This was going good. Why did that happen? And God says, no, this is a part of the process, okay? You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you, because of the word of God, because of the living word of Christ, because of the Holy Spirit-inspired word. We are clean once we come to Christ, and we are being cleaned. He says, you are a different creation. You are not the old person. You have to quit thinking the way you used to think, because now you have the mind of Christ. There's all of these things that God gives us, and you've spoken. So he says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, it's kind of interesting because I was preparing this sermon, and I was walking up from the backyard, and I pruned our grapevine, okay, about, oh, probably 2-3 months ago. And I put the branches in a pile behind some stuff in the backyard, and I forgot about them. You guys ever do that? You're like, didn't get the job quite done. And so I'm thinking about the vine, and I'm thinking about branches being cut and stuff. And I walked by that pile of branches, and they've been on their own for like 3 or 4 months. And you want to know something? They didn't grow. Now, I know it's wintertime, but even if it was the middle of summer, would those branches grow? No, because apart from the vine, those branches could not produce fruit. And our grapevine was so overpopulated with vines, it wasn't going to produce fruit for next year. And that's what God does. He says, look, you're healthy. You're healthy to hear. Now you're kind of going, so if you feel like you're being pruned, there's a possibility that you were going, out there, and okay? So, you know, that's what I do to our grapevine. That's what I do to our roses and stuff. And it used to drive Cindy crazy because I had a lot of people in my family that were vine dressers, and they taught me how to prune trees and different things. And she's like, what are you doing? And I remember the first time I cut your roses down. Boy, you know, she was gone someplace. It was in the fall. She comes back, and her roses are gone. She goes, what happened to my roses? I pruned them. And she wasn't very happy with me. And sometimes, you know, when God prunes us, we're not very happy with him either. But it's a necessary thing. We cannot bear any fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You know, there in Psalms it says, Father, apart from you, I have no good thing. And it's really true. And I know that you know, we're not supposed to take that verse and beat ourselves up. We're supposed to take that verse, number one, when we fail and realize that God is there, and I'm just not capable of doing a whole. But number two, that with God, we are capable of doing exceedingly more than we ever imagined. There's also that scripture. So we need to realize that, man, if I am in the vine, I can produce fruit. If I am in the vine, I can have the life of the Holy Spirit flowing through my spirit, flowing through my brains, my brains instead of my veins, and my veins. I can have the Holy Spirit just flowing in me, the life of God flowing in me. But we have to stay connected. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I am in him, he will bear much fruit. Do you notice how many times Jesus says this? He's hoping we'll get it, right? He wants us to get it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing that is lasting. We can do a lot, but we can't really do anything that has any eternal value apart from Christ. In Christ, we can do all kinds of things that have eternal value. In Christ, we can end up in a place we never dreamed we would be, doing something we never dreamed we would be doing. A few years back, before we got new siding on the church, we were painting the church, and it was during the bike rally. We ran out of paint, and you know, I took a bullet for the team. I said, "I'll go get the paint." Wasn't that nice of me to leave these guys here painting? I'll go get the paint. I thought about that later. I thought that was kind of, well, anyway. But I, you know, so anyway, so I had to run to Rapid because they were, we'd bought the town out of white paint. And so I ran to Rapid, and I'm coming back, and I'm in a hurry, and I'm thinking, I got to get the paint to these guys, got to do this, got to, you know, I'm in that physical, I got to do it, I got to fix it, I got to get there. And of course, there's motorcycles everywhere, and I look ahead, and there's a bunch of people stopped, and there's no policemen there, but there's people waving and stuff. And so I pull over, and this guy goes, "Hey, we've had a wreck," and this guy, think he's unconscious, we don't know he's breathing, "Do you know CPR?" Well, yeah. So I pulled over, and I got out, and I got up, and I got real close to the guy. He was not breathing. And I started giving him CPR, and his head did not look good. I'm not going to give you details, but it wasn't good. My first impression was, "Lord, the only way this guy's going to live is if you give him life, because we're giving him CPR." And I said, "Lord, give him life." And about that time, he's like, and his eyes open, and he looks at me, and he says, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Pastor Jim, and I'm giving you CPR because I don't think you're supposed to die yet." He goes, "I don't think so either." And about that time, the EMP showed up. We got him in, got him loaded up. And, he had a gash in his head. It was the worst gash I've ever seen in my life. And so they got him in there and with the chaplaincy program. So the next day, I get this phone call. And, it's one of the chaplains down there. And he said, "Did you give a guy CPR?" And they rushed down here and said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, he gave his life to the Lord this morning. He'd sure like to talk to you." You see, I didn't wake up that morning saying, "Hey, today I'm going to, all that CPR training that I had, today I'm going to use it. Today God is going to bring somebody back." The CPR was just, yeah, I can do CPR. If I would have said, "No, I can't do CPR," they'd say, "Get out of here," right? I mean, you know, in the prayer of laying hands on somebody and saying, "Lord, give them," I never dreamed, number one, I'd be given a dead man CPR. Number two, I'd be praying for him. Number three, he'd come back to life. Number four, he'd get saved the next day. But that is what happens when we abide in the Holy Spirit. You find yourself writing checks that only God can cash. And it's exciting. It's exciting. You see, God wants us to do that. Apart from Christ, we can't do a lot. But if we remain in His love, if we remain in the love of Christ, it says in John 15:9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." You see, God loves us so much, He wants to give us all this love so that we can give life and love to the people around us. A lot of you are in very dark places. You work in dark places. You walk through dark places. And you see, God says, "I know it's dark, but I am the light. I am that love. I am that I'm going to give you that so that you can light up the world. Because you are my children. You are the ambassadors of Christ." He says, "I'm going to give you this." We need to reflect every day on how much God loves us. We need to just stop and say, "Lord, I can't believe that you love me this much." In Romans 5, 6 through 8, it says, "You see, just at the right time," and there are so many right time situations in our life, "just at the right time, God got your attention. Just at the right time, He showed you how much He loved you. Just at the right time, a lot of things happened because God loves you so much, He wanted you to have a relationship." It says, "Just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." We were powerless, but Christ took His power and He redeemed us. "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He loves us that much. He says, "I don't care how terrible you were. I don't care how terrible and bitter your heart was. I don't care how messed up you were. I died for you and I love you and I want your life to be different because I want you to change so the lives around you can change. I want to give you a word today. I want to give you a word for the week, for the year, for your life. I want to give you so much," and all you have to do is stop and abide. You see, it says if we obey the Father's commands in John 15:10, it says, "You will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love." So many times people make Christianity out to be a rule book, and it's not. It's a love letter. It's a love letter. I do things in my life because I love Cindy, not because I have to. Not because, like, well, I signed that contract. And I guess, since I signed the contract, I guess I'm going to have to, you know. I mean, if that was the attitude, we'd have a terrible life. Because I do just enough that she wouldn't leave me. You know? But I want to do so much that she's like, wow, I like being married to Jim. Most of the days I hit the mark. But because I love her. And it's the same way with God. When we love him, we do what he says to do. You know, the Ten Commandments, really? Not that hard. Thou shalt not kill. I know that's a hard one sometimes, right? It's like, you know, I know that some of you have jobs that would be wonderful if it wasn't for all the people around you, right? I mean, my goodness, you know, but God says, if you just obey me, Jesus says what? He summed it up in two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbors yourself. The first one is usually a piece of cake. It's that second one that gets us. You know, because two things. Number one, our neighbor's hard to love. Or number two, we don't care for ourselves very much because it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Like, great, I don't like myself, so I don't like him either. Right? But God says, I want you to know how much I love you. And I want you to love me back. God's word and the word he gives you this year will continually bring you back to depending upon Christ. I remember the first year we did this, I thought, I don't like this word. But it was a word that I needed because it brought me into depending upon God and Christ in an area where I kind of thought I had it. You know, I got this covered, God. You ever feel like that? Yeah. But God says, I will have you come back to abide and remain in me. Abiding, remaining, and yielding is one of our biggest challenges. As children of God, abiding, remaining, and yielding. You see, we're like a broken leg. Oh, thank you so much, Pastor, for this illustration. We are. We're like a broken leg, okay? We really are. Abiding in Jesus, we are inside the cast until we are made whole. We got a full cast. We got a walking cast. We've got a spiritual therapist called the Holy Spirit, right? And soon, walking in wholeness becomes easier and easier and more natural, and we tend to shed the cast, and then we break our leg all over again. And that's what abiding is like. We need to depend upon Christ. You see, we're like a broken leg that isn't healed this side of heaven. Totally. We are healed. We are saved. We are sanctified by Christ. But we're not quite there. And so we need that envelope of protection, the Holy Spirit. We need that envelope of protection, the blood of Christ. We need that envelope of protection, the power of God around us, so that we can walk in wholeness and walk in strength. You see, when we remain in Christ, when we remain in his love, we realize that God is looking over us even when you don't feel if you're capable of changing and bearing fruit. Even when you don't feel like you're capable of changing, even when you don't feel like you're bearing fruit, God is looking over you. He is looking over you. Continue to abide. John 15:2. Is probably one of the least understood or the most misunderstood scriptures in the Bible. It says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And you see, a lot of people think that, well, if you're not bearing fruit in Christ, he just cuts you out. And then they mix up. The last part of that John verse, it talks about the branches being cut off and burned. This is not those branches. It says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Cuts off in the NIV is not the best translation. The Greek is aereo, ahio, ahiro, which means to lift up, to bear up, to loose. You see, sometimes our English translations kind of miss the mark, you know. This is one of about four that I know of in the Bible that really need explained. This one really, because You know, I thought, well, great, I'm not bearing any fruit. And that used to scare me to death because I was in a doom or gloom, you know, turn or burn church growing up. I mean, I was so afraid to breathe. I thought if I breathed wrong, that maybe my grandma would pinch me and I was going to hell, right? And so when I read that, I thought, oh, man, I'm not bearing any fruit. Oh, that's it. He's going to cut me off. And I used to worry about it. And then there was a teaching and a wonderful book that came out that explained this. It explains that he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. If I've got something that's not bearing fruit, God says, nope. And it's like the branch, it's like the vine that has got smashed down in the dirt and the mud. And it's alive, but it's not going to produce any fruit down there. And what it says in this verse, it says that God, there's too much there. So this, and he prunes it and he lifts up the piece of life in you. And he lifts it up, he bears it up, and then he looses it. He sets it free to produce. And that's what it means. So you see, Jesus is always lifting us up. He's always lifting us up. If you're in Christ, if you get up every morning and if you look for him, if you desire his relationship and his presence, he is always lifting us up. If you've ever felt barren, if you've ever felt like you're face down in the dirt, if you ever have felt like you're depending maybe too much on the flesh, if you've ever not fully felt like you're looking at Jesus or walking in the Spirit, if you've ever been busy or distracted, if you've ever been stressed, you need to realize something, that Jesus is there to lift you up out of that and to cut off whatever it is that is holding you down in the dirt, whatever it is to cut it off and to lift you up, to loose you. Jesus is here to lift you out of the dirt. Jesus is here to redress you and to cleanse you so that you can be nourished by the Son and remain in him. And that's what Jesus wants for us. And that's why Jesus wants us to abide in him. So I encourage you, abide. Find a chair. Find a rock. Find a place. And every day, spend some time abiding in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that Jesus completed everything in our life that we need. Forgiveness, restoration. Father God, he completed what we need to be filled. He completed what we need to abide. Father, your word says that we are seated in the heavenly realms with Christ. And I pray, Lord, that as we come to you, as we abide with you, we literally see ourselves sitting next to Jesus. We see ourselves right there with him, because he's right here with us. We thank you, Lord, that you have no boundaries. You're not limited to being just in heaven or just on earth. But, Father, you can be everywhere. By the power of your Spirit, you are everywhere. And we thank you for that. And, Father, help us to see that and to abide in you. In Jesus' name, amen.